Hi, I'm thinking of getting another tattoo to go with my raging dragon one.
Sure. What are you looking for?
Well, maybe something like a...
Bunnies! He wants a row of bunny rabbits with twitchy noses.
Your vote is your voice, so don't let others decide for you.
All holding giant flowers.
Who's that?
Ella. She works in the bank next door.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Too cute. And write Sarah on it.
Cute? I'm a martial arts champion. And my boyfriend's name is Jack.
This week on Crime World...
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Left Wing. So it all comes down to this to sign off the season. Munster are in Cape Town to play the Stormers in tomorrow's URC Grand Final. Munster, of course, looking to win their first trophy in 12 years in Graham Rowntree's first season as head coach. Will Peter O'Mahony lift his first cup as Munster captain after a decade in the role? Will it be a fairy tale ending for what's set to be Keith Earl's final game for Munster? Few expected them to make the final, but now that they're in it, there is just so much to play for. Well, Irish Independent rugby correspondent Rory O'Connor has made the trip to Cape Town. Rory, there was talk at the start of the week that 5,000 Munster fans were making the trip. Dennis Leamy rounded that down during the week and said it's more likely to be around 2,000, which is still a fantastic support. I know you've been flat to the mat now working since you arrived there, but what is the vibe like over there?
There's huge excitement there. I think amongst the locals there's huge excitement because it's the second final they've had here. You know, they set ticket prices very low to try and have a as diverse, as large a crowd as they could. John Dobson, the head coach, was just in doing a press conference and he said they could have sold this out four or five times. They could have set the ticket prices higher and still sold it out, but they wanted to have a crowd that reflects the population of all of Cape Town. And this team is Cape Town's team, and their whole motto is make Cape Town smile. So there's a huge backing for the Stormers, but around 2,500 is what I'm hearing now. Munster fans have come over for this game, which, considering the cost involved, the long haul flights, getting time off, it's just an astronomical number, I think. You know, for anyone to make this trip deserves huge credit, because it's not a cheap trip to make. But look, it's a great city. There's lots of them around. You can see there, you know, there's not great views off Table Mountain today. The cloud is down over it, but I think it's going to clear up tomorrow. But there's loads to see and do. It is one of the great cities in the world. Sinead, I know you were here in 09, I think, if I remember correctly. It's a great spot and it's a great place to visit. And I'm in the stadium now and it's a proper arena. It's an arena. I know the pitch isn't great, but it's an arena befitting a final. The World Cup, the FIFA World Cup semi-final was here in 2010. You know, it's a big game stadium. It's going to be a massive event tomorrow, and there's a real sense of that in the city.
Have you got a look actually at the pitch yet? Because I know there have been plenty of concerns around the state of it.
I think it's more when you get down onto it, you know, from up high it looks fine, and the players Jack Crowley, Ben Healy and Conor Murray are out there right now doing their kicking practice. And interestingly, Stephen Kitsoff made an interesting remark. He said it's a hard stadium to chase a game on, or sorry, hard pitch to chase a game on, which we couldn't really quite interpret what he means by that, but I think it's definitely going to be a factor to some, you know, for better or worse tomorrow. As Graham Rowntree said in his presser, look, you know, we play on pitches in the wet all the time. It's been raining here, rained heavily here yesterday. There's kind of showers today. Tomorrow's supposed to be clear, but it won't do any good for a surface. They had a Monster Trucks event on it a couple of weeks ago, so that won't help anything. So it's not ideal, the pitch. I mean, apparently it gives at the worst possible times. Like, you know, you never, apparently it goes when you least expect it. Connacht were here a couple of weeks ago, played some good rugby. The Stormers still scored loads of tries in that game. So it'll be a factor, but I don't think either team is kind of using it as an excuse just yet.
Yeah. Well, you've been there covering the Stormers and Munster press conferences there already today. Anything in particular stand out to you about those before we get into the team selections?
Not really. The Stormers were very relaxed. I mean, John Dobson, their head coach, is a very kind of you know, he's an outgoing figure. He's quite, you know, he had a bit of fun with it. Stephen Kitsoff, it's his final game for the Stormers, at least for now, because he's going to Ulster next year. They were talking about this is possibly the biggest game in the Stormers' history, that they're embracing that. You know, they talked a lot about the video, the infamous video that went around where Joseph Dweeba said he was going to F up Munster, and they kind of went, look, we'd prefer if it hadn't been leaked. We let Joseph down in that scenario. I'm sure most of our listeners have seen it, but Munster were much more playing it down. You know, like I think Dobson said, I can understand why Munster would use it as motivation, but at the same time, Munster came out and said, look, we don't, you know, that we're not using that as our main motivation. Munster were more tense, although myself and the other Irish journalist, Simon, who's here, got a chance to chat to them later for tomorrow's papers, and they were more relaxed in that setting. There's definitely a confidence about them. Like they've gone and won away from home over and over again in the last couple of weeks. It's been so, so impressive. They're in good form. They believe in themselves. They've knocked off Leinster, but they're also saying they've learned from previous finals. Mm. You know, they've been here before, finals, semi-finals, and they haven't performed. If you think about losing to Glasgow in Ravenhill in 2015, losing to the Scarlets in what was it, 2017, in that final when they got blown away under Razzy Erasmus, Leinster in the RDS in an empty stadium, they just got that wrong that day. They didn't lay a glove on Leinster. So they need to perform. They know that. And they kind of, you know, a lot of it's tried and tested kind of stuff that we've heard before, but they're focusing on, they think that if they get too hyped up on the fact that this is a major chance to win a trophy, they won't actually perform. And look, you know, it's a cliche for a reason. There's obviously merit to it, but there's a steel about them. There's been a steel about them for a couple of weeks. They're a good team in good form, but they're facing a very, very good team, also in very, very good form at home, backed by what was a 52,500 locals who make lots and lots of noise. So it's set up to be a real cracker, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, it sure is. So Munster have named their team. Three changes to the side that started the semi-final win over Leinster 2 weeks ago. So Conor Murray, Malachi Fekitoa and Calvin Nash are back in the starting team. Jack Crowley moves from the centre to out half. Orgie Snyman is on the bench, as is Keith Earls, which means John Hodnett keeps his place in the back row, which is thoroughly deserving for him. I mean, he was excellent against Leinster. So Snyman to come off the bench, though, it's not a bad replacement either, I suppose.
No, he's excellent. And I think it is. I know Graham Rantree was asked in a press conference about whether it was, you know, Tadhg Byrne or Orgie Snyman. I do think it was more a case of Hodnett played so well that if you were to include Snyman into the back row, you obviously have to keep Tadhg Byrne into the team. So you shift him to six, which shifts Peter O'Mahony to seven and Hodnett out of the team. And while O'Mahony and Byrne are breakdown threats, you know, Hodnett gives you an awful lot with ball in hand as well. He's a tough tackler. He's a hard-nosed player. In that all Cork back row, he's a bit of a rough diamond, Hodnett. He's a bit of a Sean O'Brien type character. From, you know, he reminds me a lot of him. And I know he hasn't got any Ireland recognition, but I think Munster really value him as a player. And that's why, I mean, to keep Orgie Snyman out of the team is quite saying something. Now, Snyman has had a couple of concussions recently. I think there's a bit of, you know, maybe a little bit of concern, maybe hold him back, give him half an hour to make an impact. He's only just back from that injury as well. It's only 2 or 3 months since he hadn't played for a couple of years, but he did look like he was growing into it. He was making impacts on big games. He made a big impact just before he came off in that Glasgow quarter final. Having him to come in allows them to go for that 5-3 split on the bench. You know, Stormers are 6-2, six forwards, two backs. Munster have gone with Keith Earls, Ben Healy and Craig Casey, partly because Earls is such a good option. But again, they've gone with the form of Calvin Nash across the season, which is a big vote of confidence in two of their young players and is indicative of what they've done all season. And one of the real strengths of this Graham Rantree team is that they've gone for in-form young players whenever they've had the choice. And there's a lot to applaud that.
Yeah, and the Stormers have named their team as well. So two changes aside the start of the win over Connacht a few weeks ago. Marvin Ory comes into the second row and Dion Fourie starts at blindside flanker, and they really could play havoc with the Munster Maul. And so that's kind of five changes from the Stormers side. They were beaten 26-24 by Munster last month. Herschel Yanchi starting at scrum half as well this time. We'll talk about their out half in a moment, Rory, but this really is a formidable side.
It is. And it's not like it's dripping with Springboks. You know, the Sharks probably arguably have the more star-studded lineup, but it is a very strong, cohesive unit who, Razzy Erasmus did a press conference in Cape Town yesterday, managed to make it along, and he coached the Stormers a couple of years ago, and he said he really struggled to get them on the same page. There's so many distractions in Cape Town, you know, kite surfing, all this sort of stuff, and it's really hard to get the players to focus in on what they do and get them together for a common cause. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of life to be lived in the city. So getting players to focus in on what they're doing is really difficult. Whereas Dobson has got them into one, into a unit. He has, you know, they've lost a lot of Springboks over the last couple of years. They're losing Stephen Kitts off their captain next year to Ulster because of money, ostensibly. You know, Ulster made him a very compelling deal worth, you know, north of €600,000. So they can't compete with that. But what they can do is they can meld this group of players into a really, a team that the city of Cape Town is proud of, that a team that is dangerous. They've really, really good players. Lionel Zas on one wing, you know, Damian Valemsa at fullbacks, really, really good players. Their centres are powerful, hard men. Their pack is strong, big. You know, there's ball playing ability in that too. And I know you're going to come back to them, but Manny Nibok pulls the strings at 10. And, you know, they're a great team to watch. They're one of the, like, I think they've been one of the best additions of the four South African teams. They've been the best addition in terms of just, you know, they're almost appointment viewing now, the Stormers. You want to watch them no matter who they're playing against. And their games against Irish teams have been really, really interesting over the years. So it's a really good team. Connacht showed it's got flaws as well, you know, in that semi-final. And Munster will look to exploit those flaws. They'll have watched, you know, poured over that tape and found little ways that they can get in. And obviously they won here last month as well, which will stand to them. The first of six away games, five wins and a draw that they've gone on, which is just a remarkable run of games.
Yeah, and what about Libok then? I mean, we're looking at those two kind of out halves, and Crowley obviously showed his temperament with that brilliant drop goal against Leinster. Libok didn't have a great game, though, the last time he played against Munster in April. I think it was around five kicks at goal that he missed, but he has found his rhythm since, and as well in that game against Connacht. And look, as it would be for any opposition, but Leamy said as well this week that Libok is the guy that they must try and take away space and time from, because he is such a threat.
He is, and he has it. You know, if you block off his passing routes, he'll go to the boot. He can break you open himself. We got two of the best young out halves in the world here, don't we? You know, Crowley is really Ireland's coming man now. You know, the way he nailed that drop goal. Spoke to Felix Jones about him yesterday, and he was saying, you know, you can get that sense of calm from him. He just, from afar, from a distance, you can see that this guy is a player. You know, everyone who sees him, everyone within the game who sees him, just, you know, sees the confidence that Jack Crowley brings to the table. And his battle, they're very different players, obviously, but Libok is more, I guess, unpredictable. His lines of running are brilliant. He plays with a beautiful style of play as well. You know, he can carve you open.
He just glides, doesn't he?
But he's probably less reliable with the boot, you know. I mean, and that was the flaw in his game against Munster a couple of weeks ago. And he nailed that kick to break Ulster's hearts last season. So it's not like he's lacking any guts. You know, that was a tough kick and in tough circumstances, and it was a big moment for the Stormers. He'll play a big, big role. Obviously, it depends on the quality of ball he gets, the threats that Munster have on the deck. They'll go after them. They'll, you know, for all the size of the Stormers, Munster have a good maul themselves. You know, I think it's like the out half will have a big role, but there's a myriad of factors before he gets the ball that will kind of dictate the terms on which he's able to play the game.
Yeah, of course. And you look at the Stormers front row, I mean, their captain, you know, Kitsoff, as you mentioned, Duiba, Franz Malherbe, you know, so if the Stormers are going to F Munster up, as we've been promised, the scrum in particular is an area where Munster will need to hold. So what for you, Rory, are these key areas in this particular game?
Well, I suppose don't drop the ball. You know, don't give them opportunities. Like, you know, don't give away penalties and allow the Stormers to either take scrums or kick to the corner or win penalties. You know, don't manage the territory. You know, keep them playing the game in their own areas. Like, you can't kick loosely to that back three. Valemps is one of the best players in the world. He's a really good counter-attacking player. Excellent guy to have, receiving a bad kick, you know. So Conor Murray and Crowley need to be really accurate with their kicking. But they just hold on to that ball. Don't give them opportunities to scrum. Look, Stephen Archer did really well down here a couple of weeks ago. Lockman's, you know, playing very well. Dermot Barron's playing very well. But it gets a bit more tricky when you start introducing the bench. You know, Josh Richardy's having a good season, but he's quite small, you know, up against these massive South Africans. And Roman Salanoa, while he doesn't lack size or power, is still just very experienced, and he does cough up, does get under pressure in these. And I wouldn't be surprised if Archer goes, you know, quite deep into this game. But at some stage, they're going to have to unleash Salanoa. And it's like, Salanoa will win gain line for you. He'll carry hard. You know, he's a really athletic, dynamic forward, but he's still, you know, he came to the game late. You know, he's still a bit of a project in many ways. And having him on the bench in a final against South African teams, they'll see that as an opportunity and a weakness. If they've done their research, they'll see that as an opportunity. But you're bringing on Slimen behind them. That's surely part of the thinking. You know, you've got a powerful tight head lock behind them. They'll scrummage as an eight. And Munster have had this issue all season, and they've just kind of managed through it. Like, it hasn't come back to be a major flaw. But as we saw last week with Leinster, when you get to the final, your flaws are exposed ruthlessly by the best teams, and that's where there's danger.
Yeah, there sure is. Overall, like, Rory, it's just been such a mad season for Munster, considering where it all started. New coaching team, there was that time off for a wedding just before the start of the season, the Emerging Ireland tour, which involved 10 Munster players. They lost five of their opening URC games, five of their seven opening URC games. There was talk they wouldn't make the Champions Cup next season. Then there was that win over South Africa's select side in Cork last November. They were knocked out of the Champions Cup by the Sharks in South Africa. Then that incredible win and draw in South Africa, as you mentioned earlier, which saved their season last month. They've excelled on the road, really, and they really are just finishing the season like a juggernaut, really.
No, they are. They are, and they've got that momentum behind them. You know, it's I wrote them off earlier in the season, said they were going to qualify for Europe, you know, and I'm quite happy to have that egg on my face because it's a great achievement for them. They've proved all their doubters wrong. They can happily, you know, they can use that old GAA cliche that you know, they've been writing us off all year. Even Rowntree said like they were fighting to get into Europe a couple of weeks ago. Then they ended up finishing fifth on the back of that tour to South Africa, which was really, really impressive. And they could easily have said, right, that's it, we're done, you know, and knock on in a run because the run was so hard. But they went to Glasgow, won, went to the Aviva, beat Leinster, you know, having been behind for a lot of the game. Clutch kick, you know, like this, and it's young players who are making big plays for them as well. So finals are hard to get to, they're hard to win. You've got to perform on the day, and that's been a big focus from Peter O'Mahony and Graham Rowntree today. But it does feel like they're in a really good space going into this game, and I do think they're going to give this a really, really good shot.
Yeah, but look, we know, and we were reminded last week that, you know, rugby doesn't do fairy tale endings. You know, look, and I know very few expected Munster to make this final, but there are real live storylines around it now. I mean, Keith Earls, it's likely to be his last game for Munster. Ben Healy's last game too for Munster. People like Peter O'Mahony, who's never won anything with Munster. And you think back to how the season started and those tears of O'Mahony after that series win after the third test over New Zealand, and how incredible it would be if he finishes tomorrow again in the Southern Hemisphere, more tears of joy. What a way that would be. How do you see this game going, Rory, and what kind of chances are you giving Munster?
I could give them a really, really good chance because they're a really, really good team and they're informed, they're in momentum, they've got young players playing well, they've got an experienced core of players who've been in finals and lost, but they've also won a lot with Ireland. You know, it doesn't guarantee anything. We saw that again last week, but there is reasons for them and their travelling support to really believe, but they've got to get it right on the day. And look, if they don't get it right, then Stormers will beat them. And, you know, they have enough experience of being beaten out the gate by Leinster in 2021, by Scarlets in 2017, by Glasgow and Ulster in 2015. Even the fact that it's three finals in 11 years, like that just shows how rare an opportunity this is, that they just got to embrace the pressure of that and thrive and go out and try and silence this home crowd, try and make the Stormers team doubt itself to get on top, you know, get the crowd on top of them. It's an enormous opportunity, but it's a difficult one. Like, I haven't looked at the odds. I presume the Stormers are favourites, but I think everyone who's seen Munster recently, who knows this Munster group, has a feeling that they can perform here, that they've been through so much this season, whether it's that Sharks game away where they collapsed in the heat, and I do think the heat was a massive factor that day, whether it was that poor start, that it's brought them all closer together, and the selection policy where they've challenged and kind of backed young players ahead of the guys with caps at times, and that's brought the best out of those players. It's all culminating on one big day in Cape Town tomorrow. Will it be enough? I honestly don't know. I think they've got a really, really good chance, and it would be a great thing for Irish rugby in the World Cup year when South Africa are in Ireland's pool for Munster to go and do it with, you know, and it would be great timing with that Ireland squad being named early next week for someone like Crowley, John Hodnett, Shane Daly, Calvin Nash. Andy Farrell's dial, you know. So there's so much on the line here. There's so much at stake, and I think it's going to be a really good game. Why not? Let's go, Munster. I think they have what it takes to go and do it.
Okay, great stuff. Well, you called it right last week with La Rochelle as well. So we are going to be back after the game tomorrow with a podcast. Fingers crossed, internet and everything is working okay for us, Rory. But
yeah, no power cuts, hopefully.
No power cuts. Enjoy your time there. Enjoy your night there tonight, Rory. So keep an eye on your Left Wing podcast feed for that after the game tomorrow, 5:30 Irish time, kickoff for that game. Thanks for listening.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.